Hi, this is Max Mason. Welcome to Path to the Podium. Hey, Jamie, welcome to Path to the Podium.
Hey, what's up, dude? Nice to finally be on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on here. And I think it would be great to talk about a few different topics and a few different projects that you've worked on, obviously, in your career so far. So I think it'll be great to start with your history in motorsport. So where did it kind of start, and where is your career so progressed so far, and what are some goals in the future?
Right. So my career actually started back in about 2018 or so. And long story short, I was, quite a big fan of F1 and just cars in general. I kind of lacked the knowledge about both, but I was pretty fascinated by both. And I happened to visit a karting track, really, where I was kind of spotted by an Indian national champion. So he's a bike racing champion who kind of was observing me kart, I guess. And once I got done with my session, he basically pulled me on the side and said, where have you done your training, or what's up? Like, I've not seen you race before. And I said, I've done nothing. This was my first time at that track. And so he told me that, you should seriously consider joining it. And the thing was, at the time, I was practically obese. So I was 5 feet tall, 72 kilos. I was like a proper Teletubby. So absolutely nothing, sport related. Just got done with my education in school, and I was doing nothing but studying. I was very unhealthy, out of shape. But that's I would say my biggest turning point. That's when the ball started rolling, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that was just a hire karting session, right?
That was a complete rental karts time pass session, you can say.
Yeah, okay. And then from there, how did your career kind of progress? So through 2018, 2019, what were the kind of steps that you took towards your motorsport career?
Right. So fortunately, I could say, the karting track I'm talking about was quite literally a parking lot with tires. Like, that's what we have in India. Like, that's the facilities we have. So, despite it sounding so simple, it was something. And it was right near my home. I lived about 2 kilometers off. So it was right near my home. And my parents or my family, like, absolutely nobody had anything to do with any sport, I could say. And it was basically, the thing was that all throughout my childhood, when I was in school, I was a complete failure, like absolute failing, every subject possible, you name it, even art. So, I had no support, I would say, to moving to a sport whenever I would want to. I was a singer when I was a kid, but I was always, told or pushed to study rather than do anything else. So fortunately, I can say that when I passed out of my school, I got some, great marks, I would say. And that convinced my parents to, when I begged them to let me try something different, they said, okay, fine. Speaking about my first race, it was actually December 2018, about 3 months after my training. And the trainings we have in India, at least, they're just about 8 hours long. Like, that's practically it, over 2 days. And for the price they charge, it's very, very, very basic as compared to the most motorsport world outside. But for our standard of living, it was and still is quite expensive. So I had my first race. I was eligible for a multiple of them in karts, of course, in rental karts at a very local level. But my dad, of course, told me that it's too expensive, and what are you doing? Just do one. So, I ended up doing this race where I, out of about 50 people who would come from, I would say, across India or so, I was just number one all throughout my quali, my quarters, my semis. Absolutely nobody had, heard of me. It was my first race. And I completely binned it in my finals. I just spun on the first lap, first corner, and that was, my race practically done. I tried catching up and it didn't go as per plan, And just to touch a little more upon that, like, I was in shock that day, really. But it was a day I will remember forever, because that day, quite literally a few hours later, I was laughing at myself. And it just taught me how much failure, really, gives to you more than even success does. And it that day was like my day, in, I would say, in my career, where I said, you know, I'm hungry and I'm going to come back. So the rest of my year, the next following year, since the race was in December, I actually spent the entire year working at the racetrack where I was going to practice, like the go-karting track. And I didn't have any budget from my family's end, so I needed to fund myself. So I took an internship really with them. It was something even they had not done before. I was just so pushy about the fact that I wanted to be there, you know. So they gave me all sorts of work. I would do their marketing, their sales, their in-person sales, data logging, calling what 2,000 people every time they wanted to host the race. And God knows which language would I even have to switch to right in between, because India is just filled with so many languages. So it was an amazing journey, and I would get about 20 minutes or so of practice time on like the rental carts that per week. And that was my pay. That's how I would do everything, literally, like clean the carts, you name it. So I was like a 16-year-old who felt like he's living the dream, you know, because I'm at a karting track at the end of the day. So fortunately, even like I would say with the little that I really received through my pay, I was able to compete in the championship they hosted. And although it's a basic track, the competition is not that bad. So we actually had drivers from UAE. We had Formula 4 drivers. We had, I think, national champions on the grid too. And at the end of the championship, I placed second. So I was, you know, I was decently happy, because most of these guys have like a good amount of equipment, like 10 hours minimum per week of practice and things alike. So I was decently happy. And very honestly, my dad was moving towards, you know, thinking that, you know, maybe this kid does have something in him, you know. So that was a nice little moment. And of course, my mom, I would say she's my biggest fan, like, I mean, absolute biggest fan. So she was always, you know, in it with me. It was, of course, my dad, who I would say he had like a little switch in, I would say, believing that I could, you know, possibly do something out of this. Of course, like, with all respect, he only says and does what he does for my good. You know, if he says not to do something or to do something, it's based on like it's all for my good. So I absolutely respect him, and, you know, I appreciate it. So that was how my 2019 went. 2020 was quite a dull year, I would say, not too much. But at the end was my biggest highlight, I would say. So I did race in a Volkswagen virtual racing championship, about 3,500 people. And I think I placed 10th there. So that was decent. And we had the Dubai Endurance at the end of the year. So that race was a 24-hour long kart race, you know, and that was an amazing, amazing experience. I made great progress there. So there were a lot of teams who, again, like I was just nobody at that time, and like, you know, all of a sudden I'm getting decent lap times and, you know, catching the quicker guys. So that was a good experience. 2021, I made the switch to cars. Of course, with that came a huge increase in my budget. And I really tried gunning it for a championship. I was competing in touring cars. So that went decently well. I would say absolutely not happy with sixth in the championship, but it can't change anything. So moving forward, I did a lot of Formula car races. I would say I did a test, and followed by about four race weekends. Not gunning it for any championship, but just for exposure. So far, that's been my on-track career, yeah.
Yeah, and what was your kind of process getting out of kart? So what are some difficulties you found, obviously, because it's honestly quite a big difference.
So honestly speaking, I hadn't even done two strokes. Like, the only karting I've ever done is rental karting.
Yeah, okay.
So when I switched to cars, my trainer thought that I was someone who's been racing cars before. So I needed a coach, right? Because it was my first time on the track. So I couldn't afford the coach for the day. I could only afford him for exactly 25 minutes. So I took his service for 25 minutes. And at the end, he thought that I had done like a bunch of car racing before. And I said, no, that's my first time, you know. So he was kind of surprised. And I was kind of glad that, okay, maybe I'm doing a decent job, I guess. And I think by the end of the next testing, I was clocking lap times that the coaches were. So, I was decently happy with, what my outcome was. Literally, that was the same year that I even touched a car on the road, because the clutch, using a clutch was something I hadn't ever done in go-karts, let alone change gears, because it was only four stroke for me. So it was a big step, but I like, seriously, it was, I faced no difficulty. I was like having the time of my life, I would say.
Yeah, so we had quite a similar transition. I did two stroke karting, but I never really got invested into it. So my transition to cars was like bang, and I'm ready to go. And I did quite a bit on simulators and stuff. So my preparation was pretty good. I kind of just prepared to get into a car as quick as possible, and that was my goal. So with your racing, obviously you've achieved a lot of success in a very short amount of time. So
Thank you.
obviously you're a very adaptable person. So would you say that's one of your strong points, is just really learning quickly? And what are some goals for
So I
2022
like
or
a
2023?
simple example I can give, I would say ability to cope. So even when I host my, my online courses or the seminars that I host, the biggest point that I bring up, a lot of people believe that money and age is everything, and quite literally that those are two important factors. Yes, it's ability to cope that just comes out on top. If you don't have funds, you can get funds. That's ability to cope. If you don't have practice, you make the most with whatever you get. That's ability to cope. So like a simple example, and I felt like I unknowingly was developing my ability to cope, was when I was, in those carts, practically working at that track, because I was really up against some challenging guys, and they had like all sorts of, for instance, a Micron, right? You know what a Micron or a Solo would be, right? It reads you your telemetry and things like that, right? So I didn't have any of those things, and neither could I even know my own lap time, because I was on track and I of course couldn't come out every minute. So I was relying on my engine note, so I could hear my RPM based on the tire I was at through the corner, because of course that track was just literally tire barriers on a parking lot. So that's what I was relying on all throughout. And even when I switched to cars, I was like constantly on, like, with people, I would say, with experience, as they started racing in about 2002, 2003, which is quite literally the year I was born in. So they've been racing since I was born. And that's great experience for them. Of course, I got a cope. So even when I didn't have, I would say, the equipment required to possibly try and, improve my lap times and things alike, the coping factor is what really, really helped me out. So I would say that I'm someone who is very inquisitive. I kind of almost always observe things, and I'm very interested in learning, which helps the ability to cope factor, because in India there's this one word, it's called jugaad, okay? So jugaad basically means if something is not possible, you'll still make it happen. Like it's as simple as, let's say you need to get entry, but you don't have your tickets or absolutely nothing, you'll do jugaad to get in. Like it's not a bad thing. It's basically figuring things out. Like how can this work? Imagine you have no fuel, but you got to run your car, jugaad. That's what we'd say. So like India is known for, I would say, having people who can practically be amazing at just coming up with these absurd ideas at times, but ensuring things work. And I feel like that element in me is pretty adamant. That's what's really helped me move forward.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like the best mentality to have, is to make do with what you have, rather than saying, "I
Absolutely.
need more, I need more." And
Exactly,
that's what I
exactly.
found in a lot of guys that I raced against, or I've driven on track with. The F4 guys are like, "Oh, I need more testing so I can be faster." And for me, it's more just make your testing more worthwhile. Yeah,
Absolutely. Agreed.
and you've had to put that to the extreme, to even in karting, 20 minutes a week. But throughout the year, it adds up, and you learn something new every session, and that's the most important thing. If you're
Absolutely.
just going on track to do laps, you're not learning anything. So I think it would be great to talk about your seminar that you have, because I think it's an amazing initiative you've taken, is to take your knowledge from the track, teach it to people, to increase the motorsport audience in India, which in the end benefits you as well. So how did that kind
Correct.
of come about, and where did the spark happen? We were like, wait a minute, why didn't I just do this?
Okay, so growing up, I mean, I'm 20 now. I started racing at 15, or at just at the age of 16, 15, and the only training or coaching I ever got was like that course, that 2 day course or those 8 hours. Beyond that, it was like another okay, a coach that I desperately need in a car when I'm there trying to test for the first time, and that was absolutely it. The coaching factor for me has been very limited, of course, because of the funds. So I grew up with no coach, no mentor, no family in the sport, and we with how limited knowledge or information about motorsport is on the internet, you can only imagine how limited it would be in a country like India, right? That quite literally counts the sport as entertainment. So there is such limited information, and of course, because there are a few people who actually hold that information, it's of course their business, right? They're going to make the most of it, and with that comes charging, extremely high rates. Fair for them, but it's something that let's say a person like me, I couldn't opt for the coaching, and throughout my career, I've been making some terrible decisions, and of course, learning from them and moving forward. I can't change those decisions, and that's just the way it's gonna be. With anyone else that has ever approached me in my life, I ensured, even before the seminars and the courses, I was of course really just helping for free, dude. So I whether someone would approach me in person or through Instagram or things alike, I would ensure that nobody ever has to face the same hurdles that I did, which is not knowing things. I would want everyone to know everything. It's their career, dude. I want to see India grow. I want to see the world grow. I want to see motorsport grow, and that's why even with the seminars, I quite literally charge nothing. I don't charge anything, and I've been doing these. It's I think it's my 11th seminar that's gonna happen tomorrow, or maybe the 12th. And it really these seminars itself, they started last December or just touching December, so it's only been about 90 days or probably less. And it's going decently well. So what I do in these seminars is it's a lot of myth busting, and the expressions people have is it's amazing just seeing them be shocked. So it's a lot about motorsport in India, and how does one what does one deal with? How do you actually grow? And it's not really a course or a seminar, sorry, only for a motorsport aspiring athlete. It's quite literally for the world. It's like I'm teaching someone about their body, right? Everyone should practically know this knowledge. And for, let's say, a doctor or a science student, it might just be a little more interesting. That's the way I see it. So that's what I'm doing with these seminars. And funny story, it started in a very casual way. Like I said, the first one was only in November. November 23rd was the first one. So I was sitting in a canteen in my college with a school friend of mine, and he was mentioning to me that, oh, he's organizing these talks with different speakers and things alike. That's what he's been up to recently in college. And I for a split second, I said, okay, fine. And then I just said, what if I could do, a similar talk? And he said, why not? Like, let's look into it. So it literally just started from a simple conversation at a college. And I was extremely eager to be out there teaching, because like I said, it's always been a goal of mine to ensure not a single other person has to deal with the same hurdles that I did. I want someone to maximize on their career opportunities, not have to waste time and money learning things the hard way. So that's how it started off with the seminars. And even before the seminars, really, I had these online courses running. It's India's first and only online motorsport course so far. And it's intentionally priced at a very cheap amount, compared to these academies. It's about 8 times cheaper. And the whole benefit with that is I am someone who is more than happy and interested in, the career prospect for them. I'm sure I'm trying to grow and I need the funds for myself. But if we don't help people from our own community, then I don't know who will, right? So it just became like the mission for me was to educate and of course grow it as a business. It was my career. I'm trying to fund, and I'm still funding. So the online courses are going on. The seminars, yes, they actually help generate revenue for my courses, although I charge nothing for the seminar. Let's say someone signs up for my course, that's what actually helps me out. So that's how I'm moving. That's how I'm progressing.
Yeah, so it's kind of where the seminar, you kind of hook people onto motorsport and get them interested, even if it's just general knowledge for someone, if they just want to know more about, something that's growing a lot in India now.
Right.
And then your course is for someone that's going into motorsport.
Right.
Yeah.
Even with social media, really, I mean, I'm trying my best to grow. Unfortunately, right now, not in the best shape with the reach and things alike, but it's growing. It's fine. It happens. And even through those, I share a good amount of information about motorsport in general. And that the whole point is to get the courses running, because eventually that's one income stream of mine. So I'm hoping that it grows more. And I'm really confident with the courses. A lot of people wonder about how could you learn motorsport online, right? It sounds a little weird. The truth is that you and I both know, since we've been part of the sport, how much theory information is actually there. So what I do through these courses is it's a ton of theory work, and I've hosted these courses with quite a lot of people now, including I would say two-stroke karting racers and formula car racers. And surprisingly, I called them on, and I was hosting it with them to obtain their feedback and understand if it's something great, because I am someone who's very interested in quality. If I am a coach, then I want to provide the best to my student. So it was fascinating to know that they were like, this is something we're learning for the first time. And I was like, wow, okay, that's great then. So yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, do you want to kind of walk through how your seminar would go, and what are some main topics, and then
For
and some
sure.
myths in motorsport in India?
For sure. So my seminars really so my seminars and courses are different. So about the seminar, it's a lot about the off track aspect. Like, you and I both know that as a racer, we spend a lot of time off track as compared to on track, and that's a little different for sports persons from other sports. So when I so through my seminar, I largely mention a lot of like I do a lot of myth busting. And I talk about motorsport in India. It's a little fascinating, to for people to know that, oh, it's the racers who actually pay, it's not the teams, and it's at a later stage, and the progression paths that we have. A lot of people see motorsport just the way they see cricket, where there's just one way up, and there's a stream. You've got your district level, you've got your state, you've got your national, and then of course international for them is the World Cup, and that's the aim for every single cricketer. Whereas in motorsport, despite us knowing that Formula One quite literally is like a pinnacle, there are other forms of motorsport like endurance racing and rallying, which require absolutely different skill sets. A champion there and a champion here, they're both champions in uncomparable sports, I would say. So like it's almost as if you're talking about the Olympics, where you can compare a table tennis player with a swimmer. You can't, because they're both having different skill sets. So that is something I teach people about through my seminars. And of course, the knowledge people have about motorsport in India is quite literally four words: F1 and Michael Schumacher. So that's just how it is, and that's the whole purpose of these seminars, right? It's very interactive. There's a lot of cool gadgets I bring along. My racing equipment is something, and beyond that, there are like a few cool exercising devices, like the neck devices, the neck harnesses F1 drivers use, and these few hand-eye coordination devices that I bring along with me. And it's quite interactive, I would say. There are a few tests I have with them, reaction tests, and in the end, I give a few people some prizes as well. So they're all pretty happy.
Yeah, and then for your course, that kind of goes more into depth about the theory behind motorsports, so
Absolutely,
driving rights
absolutely,
and how to get
absolutely.
your career started.
Correct, correct. The seminar is about the a little more about the career aspect. The course covers absolutely everything. So whether it's on track or off track, you're all good. That course is really designed in a way where the struggle just gets eliminated to a large extent.
Yeah, and so do you think, that course is like applicable to, internationally, or is it more focused towards India?
It's definitely available internationally. In fact, everything that's spoken about in the course applies on a global level. It's not just in India. Only thing that applies majorly to India is when I speak about motorsport in India. That's it. Every other topic that's available, whether it's, you know, we both have apexes across the world and we both have oversteer and understeer and absolutely every other element of motorsport. So it's something that actually, if it was introduced to people internationally, I've just not marketed the course much because I really have a few too many things going on right now. So if it was marketed in a decent way, which is what I'm trying to do, it'll actually be incredibly affordable for someone abroad. Imagine learning motorsport for £100, you know. It's about 7.5 hours worth of knowledge, and it's practically what might save you a good 2 years or so if you just plan accordingly. So that's good information, I would say, for that price.
Yeah, I mean, compared to other things, you know, a single day on track with a coach can be £500.
Exactly.
You get an hour or a bit on track. So, you know, if even... Are you looking also into the future to have more in-depth courses that you
definitely
can do some research into career planning and anything where you can kind of look at the best way to become professional drivers or the cheapest way and all those different things?
Definitely. So something I even do through my current course, so I have one course running and I have the advanced version coming out soon. So the basic course that I actually host, even in that, we've got career opportunities and things alike that we discuss, and I also introduce the students to an international driver every course. So every time I host a course, there's an international driver who comes on as a guest, who's there to speak with the students for about 15, 20 minutes, you know, speaking about their career, giving them a really good insight and sharing quite literally behind the scenes that you just won't find on the net. Because everything that actually goes on through my course is all primary information. I would say that's what makes it, you know, really, really special. Everything that you'd find in these academies, I mean, I have now, honestly, because of the course itself, I want to ensure that what I am teaching is top tier material. So I have done quite a few courses before that. I've worked with about 4 different teams now. I know exactly how things happen and I know what's missing. So I'm there to, you know, really fill the gap. And in a way, it's just really because I see a lot of these careers getting torn to pieces, because when an academy works, it's of course a business for them, and I understand that perspective. I just can't tend to see people's careers being thrown away because of lack of knowledge. It doesn't fit with me. I had a lot of problems and I faced a lot of hurdles. I'm hoping nobody has to face that. So that's how it is going. Yeah.
And with that course, so that basically covers everything. So driving wise,
yep,
what it takes to get on the track, the equipment you need, some points.
In fact,
so
even for the technical side, right now, what I can say I'm working on is I'm trying to put together a brilliant course. And of course, if something is not my domain, then that's not what I teach, because at the end of the day, I'm a person who's, you know, interested in sharing something, information about something I am 100% clear with. I don't, you know, otherwise I would just be as confused as that person. So even for, let's say, the fitness aspect or the technical aspect, I'm actually working with professionals for them to actually kind of have a platform and also to showcase their work through these courses. So even in those departments, like fitness at a higher level of motorsport is quite important. Unfortunately, in India, there's no trend for fitness in motorsport. Most of the, you know, the racers, if you ever visit a racetrack in India, they're smoking 24/7, like on the track. So you know, there's really no fitness related trend that I see going on. And I think if you want to be the best, you can't train and be at the level, you know, you're with. You've got to train like the best. You can't really tell yourself that if someone's not focusing on the fitness, then why should I, right? That's why even, for instance, for me, I train with the same trainers that, you know, Jayan Daruvala trains with. Those are my training routines, because, again, I want to be like, or I would say I want to maximize on every possible opportunity I can, you know, I can have. So when the day comes where I might be somewhere, then, you know, these things will matter. And at that time, possibly I would be in a good position.
Yeah. And that's like, that's the best mentality to have you're not preparing for something, you're preparing for anything. So you're always ready.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, that's much better. It's like when people ask, like me or anyone else, they're like, what are you preparing for? You don't need to say anything. You're preparing for everything. And right. It's great to do that, because then you always have a goal to aspire to, rather than for a majority of the year, especially for race where we're not racing, you know, like Formula One every 2 weeks, is right. We have a lot of downtime. So if we're not preparing in that downtime, we get to the race season and boom, we're nowhere. And the big thing with fitness, it's much more a mental thing than it is physically. You know, driving a car is not like playing football for an hour and a half at full steam, but having that ability to be calm in a car is so much more important than to be able to be strong enough to drive one. And I think that's what I've found, is that, you know, the fitter I get, the more calm I can be in the car, because I don't get as sweaty, I don't get as flustered and all these kind of things. And I think that's my kind of focus when I'm preparing, is to be super fit so that I can be calm.
Absolutely. I mean, even when, since you're going to be doing Euro NASCAR, you're possibly going to have two races a weekend, or do you guys have one race a weekend?
It's two races a weekend, yeah.
Exactly. So even when you got two, I mean, just for audience, it's of course, imagine one going, you know, sideways, and then, you know, then you're going to have to step right back in the car. To have that mentality of, you know, being at absolutely neutral, no highs, no super lows, whether success or failure, you've got to be, you know, right there for the next race. So yeah, being calm and, you know, in your mindset is very important.
Yeah, 100%. That's the most important thing when driving a car, because as soon as you get angry, that's when you start to make mistakes and crash.
Absolutely.
One more thing about your course. So how much have you gone with that into the use of simulators instead of track time? Is that something Understood. You've looked into, or is that something in the future you're looking to add in?
Got it. Very honestly, it's in the future, because I am not a sim racing expert yet. It is something I recommend more often than not, because it is, I would say, an investment that you make, which will practically last with you, unlike a, you know, a 10-minute session, which is just 10 minutes. So what I've seen so far is these sim racing guys, I mean, they join the real world through being champions in the sim racing world. So I personally have a basic sim setup, and so far it's not so realistic in my opinion. But the real reason why I plan on, you know, majorly focusing on sims is because I see the career opportunities, and that's the same thing I share with, you know, everyone who asks me about sims. So I know guys who've practically just done a sim racing championship, and of course they've done hours and hours and hours of practice. It's another sport entirely, I would say, you know, it's another form of motorsport entirely. And yeah, so these guys practice like insane amounts of hours, and they win a championship, and the next thing you know, they're in the same car as you, or in the same championship as you. But guess what? Their drive is sponsored because they've won a championship. And I think those career opportunities you get through sim racing are insane. They're amazing.
Yeah, 100%. And even if your sim doesn't need to be a 1-to-1 ratio where you're spending five figures on a simulator.
Absolutely.
You know, you can have a very cheap simulator and still improve your driving and achieve success while sim racing. Like it's all about driving and learning something new on the simulator, which you do every time you hop on. And instead of a car, you can test brand new things every single lap and not have a risk of damaging anything, plus the fact that you can be practicing 40 hours a week if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And a lot of the professional sim racers, they do those kind of hours a week because that's what they do. They're professional sim racers. It's like working a job for them. So that kind of hour input into sim racing is what a lot of people do, which is crazy. But when you look at the money some people are making out of it and the career they get out of it,
it's insane.
It's crazy. Well, are there any other things you want to add about your course and you know what it's called, so I can actually go have a look and have a look
at it? Of course, for sure. So if any of you guys are even interested, and you know, you can take a look too. So as soon as you can visit it directly on my website, it's shawtowin.in. That's shawtowin, shawtowin.in. Or you can simply visit my Instagram. You'll see the link right there in my bio. And it's a very straightforward process. Actually, I run my courses live. So I even limit the batches that I host because I want every student to quite literally just get my attention. And it's something you can register for online on my website. As soon as you do that, you even get a brochure with all the details sent directly to your email. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm just looking at it now as well. So,
Nice.
I think you have an awesome initiative when it comes to this, because not only are you, like what I was saying, is you're boosting India's motorsport platform,
Right.
but you're also in a way creating some more competition in India, and also
Right.
creating more fans in India to where it can achieve a level like what Europe has, because
Absolutely.
you're going to be considered one of the founding fathers now of Indian motorsport, the renewal of it, because
Wow.
you're bringing in the new era of motorsport, and that happens all over the world. In Europe, it happened during the 90s, and it's grown massively now, but India has a lot more people than Europe, so the potential in India is huge, and it's going to be an amazing you're going to be an amazing place to learn everything and get new fans in. So
For sure.
I mean, what you're doing is amazing. So I think it'll be great now to talk about the future. We've kind of talked what's happening now, what's happened in the past. What are your goals for the future? Obviously, you mentioned a bit into sim racing, but
Right.
is there any goals to get into Europe in the next few years, or what's the goals
Got
with
it.
that?
So, when it comes to my career, I'm trying to focus a lot more on sim racing this year. Actually, I've invested a decent amount in a new sim right now, and my aim is I'm actually shifting cities just to sim race. So I'll be living with my mom in a different city because it's just more peaceful and I have a little more space to host my simulator. So I'll be shifting there soon, and hopefully, the sim racing takes off. I am more than interested in seeing the career opportunities that I might receive through sim racing, of course, considering how incredibly tight my budget is, at least right now. And beyond that, the plan for this year is to honestly, if the funds don't come in through the sponsorships or either the work that I'm doing, whether it is through the seminars or other things, I might not see myself on track. Of course, I got a plan for the worst and hope for the best. So the plan is sim racing along with a series in Formula Cars this year. And like I said, the funds, it's what we're really pushing for. For next year, it would again be Formula Cars, and based on the results of this year and next year, based on how we stand, I'll consider moving to another country. Not moving exactly, but quite just basically competing in a different series, So the call we had the other day, for instance, it was great learning and understanding about the different championships, whether it was the Carrera Cup or the EuroNASCAR. So these are all things on my agenda, really. Of course, one thing at a time. Important element being the funds. Got to work for the funds. So right now I'm just focusing on the three domains that I have: sim racing, teaching, and content creation. Content creation, hopefully, if it starts doing better, then that could be a form of revenue that I can maybe earn from, but nothing so far.
Yeah, I mean, it all takes time, and it's a
Of
process.
course.
But
Right.
I think we if you know you work on getting more of this course out there, because I think for what I hear that it offers, I mean, it's great. And a lot of people that are
Right.
entering motorsport, I think a big market even for it is kids coming out of karting, is to maybe position something in the course about the transition from karting, because for a lot of people they can't make it work, because it is a big
Right.
transition for people that are big into karting. So if you want to interview even me or a few other people that have made the transition to get that
Awesome.
working, that I'm 100% open for that. I mean, it's what harm does it do me to help someone out? So I
Great.
think
Thank you.
yeah you're it's it looks very good, and for people all around the world, I think it's a useful tool. There's people will be paying thousands just to go onto track, when
Seriously, right.
you do your theory work off the track, just like you do you
Right.
you know you don't go into the exam room to study.
Right. It's exactly my point, and I'm so glad that you mentioned this. It's this trick, right? Because we both know how much, you know, theory is really in it. So I keep saying this to people, you gotta learn things and implement them on track. You can't be learning exactly on track. You gotta learn things in a good amount beforehand and then try and implement those things. Exactly what you just
Yeah,
said.
and
Yeah.
that's why simulators are so important, because
True,
you can read
right.
and learn about something, but then putting it
Right.
into action into something that does feel like a real car. It doesn't, you know, the brakes don't have to be as heavy, but the steering doesn't have to be as heavy, but you're using pedals and you're using a steering wheel. You implement
Right.
the tactics or the ideas that have been put in, and then you
Right.
transition to a track, and you go to the track and you're the fastest because you've learnt everything before. And
Right.
that's something I kind of missed out early on my career. We kind of went more towards going onto track and getting track time, but because I was so
Yep.
young and I'd never driven a car, it was important to kind of learn the
Right.
basics. But then the
Right.
biggest reason I could compete in my championships that I did is because I spent so much time on the sim and developing off track. And I think
Right.
your course shows perfectly, you know, what's required off the track before you go on track, because
Right.
motorsport is not easy, and some people
Yeah.
find it out the hard way, but you're trying to make it easier for everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah, which I think, which is awesome. If is there any other things that are in the works for you, and any things that you're thinking about in the future, social media wise, or you know, anything cool happening?
I kind of have enough on my plate, so just working with what I have, you know, one step at a time. Some things are working, some things are not. So the most important thing is, you know, just being consistent and seeing where it goes. So right now it's just the social media part that's booming, I would say, or moving. We've got the seminars, we've got a few coming up. Hopefully those go well, something comes out of it, and the training kicks off well. Looking into you know, just initiating more of these courses and marketing it well. That's actually my plan, and hopefully the sim racing goes well. Again, it's all, like I said, you know, planning for the worst and hoping for the best. So let's see.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a track that we can go on together. So if you ever want to hop on track together, I'm 100% for it. It'll
Oh, for sure.
be awesome. Okay, well, I think it's been great talking to you. I mean, it's great insights that you have, and I think people can even learn a lot from what you're doing. And it's a great initiative to become somewhat of a professional driver by helping other people and using that for your driving. So yeah, thank you again for coming on the podcast. It was awesome.
100%, man. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thank you for listening to Path to the Podium. I'm your host, Max Mason. Listen in next Monday for another dive into the motorsport industry and what it takes to get to the podium. Keep sending it.